The death of Robin Williams has sparked a conversation about depression and suicide in the U.S. According to World Health Organization, by 2020, depression is expected to be a leading cause of disability worldwide, second only to the cardiovascular disease. More than 39,000 Americans commit suicide each year. The time for national conversation about depression is now, the report says. One of the hallmarks of depression is loss of motivation to do anything because you feel that your life is meaningless. You are meaningless, empty, worthless, bad, nothing but a burden. There is no sense of future, no purpose to give you hope and help you and pull you back to an active life. As the experts say, finding purpose in life that goes beyond your personal needs is a major step in overcoming depression. As I was traveling through different cities and giving seminars, people would be coming, and even to this day I would receive emails of people who have lost hope, who are struggling with depression and discouragement, and asking, can you help, please? Is there anyone who can give me some hope? The death of Rob Williams hits hard with many people who begin to think seriously about life. It was 1989, with a roommate, we watched together our favorite movie at that time, which was Dead Poets Society. You remember? And in that movie, Robin Williams plays a teacher in an elitist private school. In one of the movie's initial scenes, he takes his students into the hallway of the school and has them stand before the trophy case. He points to a photograph of football players from an early part of the century and tells the boys that if any of these players could speak to them now, they would say, and he invited them to come close, as you remember, and listen to their whisper. And they could hear him whisper, carpe, carpe, carpe diem. Seize the day. Seize the day. Live the extraordinary lives. Use the day to become something or somebody. And the rest of the movie, these boys discover the purpose in life by reading the poetry of the great English writers. They are led by dead poets to seize and live each day with purpose and passion. As my friend and I left that day, the theater, we both were inspired. It happened that both of us decided after that very soon to become pastors. He is now a professor of theology. And somehow we thought about this, and we thought if These students were inspired by the words of dead poets to live life with purpose. How much more we can discover greater levels of purposeful and passionate living by discovering God's purpose for our lives. How much more we could discover the purpose in our lives as we would open and embrace and to put our faith in the words of Jesus. As he has spoken at one occasion, the words that I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. As one blogger said, if people would be able to know that there is hope, and that hope may be found in discovering a purpose for living. As Viktor Frankl would say, people need the meaning and purpose that is beyond themselves, which transcends their needs. And people during the Second World War, as he describes him being part with others of life in the concentration camps, he said people who were able to survive as himself, they found a greater meaning. They found a purpose. As Bible says, without vision, people perish. Another translation says, without a clear picture of what God is doing, people stumble all over themselves. We need purpose every morning. When you wake up, you need hope. You need a picture of what God wants to do and accomplish in our lives. Otherwise, it's very hard to get up and live the life. The glorious vision of soon coming of Jesus is also very important in this regard. My father, who is 86 years old, he's struggling with health and breathing and heart problem. And so he is not sure that we will see each other again. And it was difficult for him for a month or two when I was there, and he lost about 20 pounds. And somehow there was no, for him, something to look forward to. And I tried to understand. And I prayed to God to help me to find a way to encourage him, to strengthen him. Last week, as I was speaking with Sister Helen, visiting with her, she said, how could it be? I am confused that even people of faith are struggling with discouragement. Is it possible for people of faith to lose hope sometimes? You remember even Elijah, when he performed a great deed of demonstrating the love of what God is like before the people of Israel. Next day, he was discouraged and depressed. And he said, God, I am worthless. I am nobody. I am not better than my forefathers. Take my life. Even the prophet Elijah, who a few days later went to heaven, was discouraged and depressed. It's okay. But there is hope. If we could know that there is hope and there is a purpose. And Elijah was able to know because angel came to him and he said, get up. Eat, because God has a purpose for your life. You have to complete work that he has in mind for you. And once he got a picture, what God wants to do in his life, he was able to move forward. I remember once listening to Bob Logan, a great pastor and teacher of church planting and church growth. He remembers the words of his father. His father taught him, the secret of success, my son, is find out what God wants you to do and do it. Find out what God wants you to do and do it. And he said that was powerful in his life. So, as I was spending time with my father, the thought came to me. All his life, my father was a minister, a pastor. He was sharing the word of God, always collecting the thoughts and the stories. He recently published two books. One was the stories of life that he collected, and one was the thoughts that he collected. So, as long as he was doing that, he had a purpose for living, and he was doing that recently, and finally it was done. And then I thought, maybe I can spark a purpose in his life, and I asked him to share with me the thoughts. And he began to share with me the thoughts, and I began to write. And for next 3 hours, he was dictating me the thoughts after a thought after thought, a story after story. Next morning, he woke up and he said, my appetite is back, you know. I feel so better. That afternoon, we continue. And I spent next 3-4 hours with him. That was last week. And when I left, I said, please, I would like you in the coming year to collect the thoughts for me and to send me. And I will call you and you will dictate me again. And he said, yes, I will do it. People need purpose. Even older people, they need to see what could be done in their lives, how they can contribute. They need to see the value of their lives. And today, we would like to answer the question, what is the life's greatest purpose according to Jesus? Would you like to know? I'm so grateful that even the story this morning is about being fishermen for Jesus. This whole week I was thinking about that. And so I would like you to tell you the story that we just watched. In Luke 5, 1 to 11, it says, and you can follow in your Bible, the story that is the foundation for our discourse today. Luke 5 says, one day Jesus was standing by the lake of Galilee, with the people crowded around him and listening to the word of God. So one day Jesus was standing by the lake of Galilee and he was pushed and pressed by the crowd that came so close to him. They were almost pushed him to the lake and they wanted to hear the word of God, the word of life. They were there with a feeling of expectancy. I like these words of Oscar Chambers when he was preaching to the students in a college chapel service. He said, we have to learn to make room for God. Expect him to come. At any moment, he may break in. Always be in a state of expectancy. And leave room for God to come as he likes. Isn't it a good thought? And that's how I like to approach every Sabbath morning. As I wake up with a burden, whenever you have to present the word of God, there is a burden. Heavy burden that you feel. As one of the preachers said, every time you present the message, you die a little. Every time you look at the people and you see the apathy, not any expectations there, just sitting quietly like in an airplane, you die a little. But still, there is a power. And that's why we come here with expectation, expectancy. And that's what happened with the people at that morning. As Jesus was walking and crowd was following him, and Jesus could not even be able to speak that everyone can hear. So he noticed two boats on the side. And he asked the fishermen, one of them was Peter, can I use your boats? And what happened? They were fishing all night and nothing happened. They were discouraged. And Jesus said, can I use your boats? And he said, yes. And the story says Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. The inspired writings in Desire of Ages tells us Peter was disheartened. He had thought of the prospect before Jesus and his followers and all ill success of the mission to Judea. They experienced failure there. And he thought of the malice of the priests and rabbis. Even his own occupation has failed him. And as he watched by the empty nets, the future had seemed dark with discouragement. That was the morning when Peter was overwhelmed, discouraged, depressed. He saw the failure of the mission of Jesus because people didn't respond as they expected. He saw even failure in his own profession. Until that day, he was going back and forth, following Jesus and then going back to fishing. Following Jesus and going back to fishing. There was no serious commitment until that day. But that day something happened. Jesus revealed himself for who he really is. And that changed everything. As Jesus told Peter, Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Because you say so. I don't see any chance of catching anything, but because you say so, I will do it. Inspired writings tells us one of the reasons why we are not growing, why one of the reasons that church is not moving, one of the reasons why we are failing individually is that we are not responding to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We are just listening but not responding. And that day things happened because Peter and other disciples, after seeing demonstration of the power of God, they were able to take next step and to commit their lives to Jesus. So, as they have done so, Bible says in verse 6, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Desire of Ages tells us the bounty of the catch was so unexpected. It was startling. The nets begin to tear. Two boats can barely handle the load. Gorged to overflowing, the boats begin to sink. What Jesus had done at that point, he demonstrated divine power. He demonstrated who he is, because that is our God. Before he asks us anything, he always reveals himself first. The number one thing and purpose in our lives is to get to know him. And then follows the rest. In Matthew 4:19, we read the story. What happened next? Then, and here is our main text this morning. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said to them, And in this text, we will discover the greatest purpose for our lives and the three characteristics of the follower of Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Here we discover number one quality of disciple of Jesus. Here we discover the first purpose of our life. A disciple, a follower of Jesus, is one that knows and follows Jesus. And that's number one purpose that God wants to give us today. As Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you." That is why one of the main purposes of this hour is to help us to know him. And then to inspire us to become his follower. A disciple is somebody who knows and follows Jesus. As Jesus revealed himself to be the Prince of Peace, as Jesus provides for their needs and demonstrated that he can take care of them, he invited them to follow him. Accepting Jesus' invitation to follow him begins by realizing who he is. Following Jesus affects, first of all, our thinking. Number one decision, number one area is concentrated in our mind. It is head decision. We get to know him. And then we make a choice. We choose to follow him. It is the head thing. Most of the people are satisfied with this level. They want to know God more, or they want to know the beliefs of the Bible, but they never make decision, like disciples until that day, to leave behind their lives, their nets, their purpose until that moment, and to follow Jesus. The head level change everything. It changes everything from our worldview to our priorities when we realize that our purpose is to get to know him and to follow him. Do you know Jesus, who is the revelation of God, who reveals to us who he is? Have you made the decision to follow him as your Lord and Savior? Number one quality of a disciple, number one purpose for our existence is to know God and to follow Jesus. But then we continue. Jesus says, "Come and follow me and I will make you." Here comes the second quality of a disciple. Disciple is one who is being changed by Christ. It's not we who are changing ourselves. It is Christ. As Bible points, as we are beholding the glory of God revealed in Jesus, we are being changed by the Holy Spirit. It is the role of Christ through his Spirit to change our lives, to transform us. A disciple is not above his teacher, Jesus says, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Apostle Paul points out that we are to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. The second greatest purpose in our life is to become like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of the Son of God, to reveal what he is like. And this endeavor, this task, is performed for us by the power of God to the Holy Spirit as we choose to follow Jesus daily. Come and follow me. The first level is the head level, and then it leads to the heart level. We are changing our character in our hearts. The Holy Spirit working in our hearts, he is changing our motivations, our direction, our tendencies. He develops in us the love of God, desire to follow him and to become like him. It is the love of God that compels us. And this comes as we put our faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is given to us to empower us, to enable us to be changed. We are changed as we stay focused on Jesus, as we remain and abide in Him. And we can do this through Bible study, through prayer, through meeting with other believers, to studying Bible together, through life experiences, as Peter was able to learn that in every situation, Jesus wants to walk with us and He wants us to allow Him to be our Lord and to lead us toward His purpose. To be disciples means that we know Him and that He is moving us in becoming like Him. It causes change in our character, in our heart. So number one purpose in our life is to know God and to follow Jesus. Number two is to be changed by Christ. And finally, number three, the final part of transformation process ends in our hands. It starts with head, it changes to heart, and then leads to hands. Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. A disciple is committed to the mission of Christ. And Jesus expressed His mission at the end of His ministry by telling them, go into the whole world and make disciples of all the nations. The primary purpose for the church is to make disciples. And we have completely failed so far. The plan of Jesus was that every one of us, as we are following Christ, as we are being transformed, that we become fully committed. As we go, as we meet people, as we talk and show kindness, that we pray for the people that we meet, and eventually as they are open, to invite them to follow Christ with us. And in the coming weeks, as we put focus on this, as we even start discipleship group for disciple makers, we want to develop this area. We need to become fishers of men. It is the purpose of Jesus for us. Because Desire of Ages 195 says every true disciple is born into the kingdom of God as a missionary. And not only that, the inspired writings tells us those who would be overcomers must be drawn out of themselves. And the only thing which will accomplish this great work is to become intensely interested in the salvation of others. We have to get out of ourselves. We need to discover higher purpose than ourselves. And that is to know God and to follow Jesus. And then to become like Him as He is changing us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, for the purpose of preparing people for the soon coming of Jesus. By sharing the good news, the love of God, and inviting them to join us on the journey of transformation. The invitation of Jesus, His invitation is definition. A disciple is somebody who follows Christ, who is being changed by Christ, and who is committed to the mission of Jesus. And all of this is the work of Jesus Himself to the power of the Holy Spirit. Our part is to respond, to choose, to surrender, and to say, yes, I will follow Jesus. I will let Him change me every day. And I will be committed. Whoever I meet, I will begin praying that God may use me to be instrument in leading that person to Jesus. We need a purpose that is beyond ourselves. And Jesus gave us the purpose. By revealing Himself, He invites us to follow Him, to be transformed and become like Him. And that's why all things work for good, for those who are called according to God's purpose, that we may be transformed into His likeness. So every situation, every trouble in our lives, God is using that to accomplish the purpose, to transform us into His likeness. And that's why we give God thanks for all things, and we rejoice even in trials. The higher purpose gives us strength. And I know that depression is a tough, and many factors affect that, but maybe we can start with this. I remember when I first met Stephen, he was without hope. And then just sharing with him possibility that God may have a purpose for his life changed everything. And from the time he started attending Sabbath, every Sabbath he came and he sang a song. And he was doing well, but if he would miss one Sabbath meeting with God and his people, he would go back to depression. His growth after 35 years of using cocaine was dependent on his continuous connection with God and with other fellow believers. Our growth depends on coming before God together, to be inspired by the Word of God and to be compelled to make decision to follow Him, and then with connecting with other believers even during week in the Sabbath school and getting encouraged, because we cannot go on our own. Without Jesus we can do nothing, and without other believers we are weak. That's why we are encouraged to follow the model of Jesus as He invites the group of people living together and developing mission together and purpose. There is no requirement for qualifications in following Jesus. The fishermen, Peter and others, they were not knowledgeable men. They didn't know much. They were ordinary men, but they responded to the call of Jesus. And that made the difference. Are you willing to respond today to the call of Jesus? Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The last story, it was May of 1855. An 18-year-old boy moved to Boston, and he came to the Bible preaching church. And there he was listening to the teacher who shared the gospel with him and urged the man to trust in the Lord Jesus. And he did. And he requested to become a member of the church, but there was requirements to be fulfilled. So he was asked in the first interview, "Son, what has Christ done for us all, for you, which entitles him to our love?" And the young man was thinking and thinking. Finally he said, "I don't know. I think Christ has done a great deal for you, for us, but I don't think of anything in particular that I know of," was his answer. The committee decided this man is not ready. They gave him a chance one more year. He was studying hard all year. And then he was again interviewed, and the answer was the same. There was no improvement in his understanding of the gospel. They were all very disappointed. One of his teachers said, I can truly say that I have seen few persons whose minds were spiritually darker than was his," he said of this young man. "I think the committee of the church seldom met an applicant for membership who seemed more unlikely ever to become a Christian of clear views of the gospel truth, still less to fill any space of public and extended usefulness." That was the conclusion of his teacher. Not only that he was ignorant of spiritual truth, he was only barely literate, and his spoken grammar was atrocious, they used to say. Over the next year, many people looked at that young man and they were convinced that God would never be able to use a person like that. And in doing so, they wrote off Dwight L. Moody. But God did not. By God's infinite grace and persevering love, Moody was transformed into one of the most effective servants of God, a man whose impact is still with us today. Not because of his abilities, but because of his willingness to surrender his life to Jesus and follows him no matter what. So there is hope for every one of us today. And that day, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, as he saw the fishermen, he invited them. And the same invitation is given to us today. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they did. They left everything and followed Jesus. That is how everything began in the life of disciples of Jesus. That is how everything can begin for you and me today. What shall we say? Amen. To God be the glory. I will follow thee, O Jesus, my Lord, wherever you go. Let's sing together the song as we finish the service together.